chapter 19. As you're going there, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, Lord, for the goodness, Lord, that you shed upon each of our lives. You are a good God. And this morning, Lord, I'm convinced that you want to speak to us, Lord, through this word. And I pray, Father God, that through the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, because that's what breaks the yoke of bondage, Lord, I pray that you will open us up to receive, Father. And I pray as we receive, Lord, we're changed. Changed into your image, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I got to tell you a little story about an opportunity that I had a few years back to help my father-in-law break a mule. He bought a unbroke mule and brought it home, and her name was Red. She was a big old long-legged lanky thing, but she is a beautiful mule. And so we set out to break this mule. Now, you have to understand, I'm a rookie. I don't know nothing about this. He's old enough that he doesn't want to ride it anymore, and he's smart enough to know that I'm dumb enough to do anything he asks me to. So we set out, and this mule was doing all right, going through the various exercises that he had planned for her, but she was real jumpy. Whenever you got onto her back, every once in a while, if you just moved your hand just right, she'd jump out of the way. And so he wanted to get her used to things on her back, making noise and moving around. And so he had me getting on and off the saddle with a bucket full of all kinds of metal things. And every time I got on that saddle, I'd have to rattle that bucket all the way around her head. So we were doing all right. I was getting on and off the wrong side, on the wrong side, off the right side. You know, I was just going back and forth, and this one time I was getting on, and I didn't have both feet in the stirrups. In fact, I didn't even have one foot over the saddle. I was just about halfway in between, and this mule decided she was going to buck. It's really hard to ride a mule bucking whenever you only got one foot in the stirrup, and your rear end's not even in the saddle. Well, it didn't take her but about three hops, and I'm off. And now, if you can picture somebody throwing a javelin, because that's about what it was back then. Somebody throwing a javelin, it goes through the air, and then it comes down and lands on the point. This was my point right here. And you go, Pastor, you don't look much like a javelin now. And that's getting pretty personal. But back then, I probably weighed about 140 pounds, so I was much more javelin-shaped back then. I landed right on my head, and whenever I did, it almost knocked me out. Not completely, but I just felt electricity go through my body, laid there for a little bit. I finally got up, and we went about trying to break that mule. Well, to make a very long story short, a few days went by, and I woke up one morning, and I'll tell you, I was in so much pain, I couldn't hardly see. And what had happened, because I ended up going to a chiropractor to get this fixed, is I dislocated two of the vertebrae in my neck. And after a little while, them vertebrae started saying, I don't like you anymore. So I went to the chiropractor, and he says, well, this is what's going to happen. He says, we're going to have to adjust the bones in your neck so that we can get them back in place. Sounds so sterile, so easy. Lays me down on this table, and he tries to pop my neck a couple of times, giving me what he calls an adjustment. And it doesn't work because my muscles are so tight because it's hurting so much. And so finally, after a couple of unsuccessful tries, he tricked me. And he got me to relax just long enough. Shoots a pain through my body. And I told him, I said, listen, man, if there's ever a war breaks out and they need somebody to make the enemy talk, you will be the one. I said, that was torture what you just did to me. Well, over the next couple of weeks, I was in his office several different times, and he gave me these adjustments, and he actually got my neck feeling better. I'm thankful that he was able to adjust me a few times. And you know, every once in a while, folks, we need an adjustment. Sometimes we don't get an adjustment. It actually causes a lot of pain. If you parents understand what it's talking about to have an adjustment. You come home every once in a while and find your child out of control, and you go, we're going to have a little adjustment here because we're not living life in this home like that. And so we adjust them. My mom was good at adjusting me. She adjusted me using the gluteus maximus muscles, I guess. And She was one that did not spare the board, believe me, did not spare the rod, whatever. She was, her right arm is about three times the size of her left arm because she spanked me so many times. Well, folks, this morning, this message is about eternal priorities. How oftentimes I think as human beings, we can get our priorities way out of whack. And every once in a while, there just comes a time where you need to stop and make an adjustment. Now, for you guys that are in NASCAR, you understand what I'm talking about. They stop all the time and make little tweak and adjustments to their cars so they can run faster. Now, the only reason I know that is because one of you NASCAR fans told me that, because I don't know nothing about NASCAR other than they go around in circles a lot. In our lives, there's all kinds of things every once in a while we got to make adjustments to. Amen? My wife hates a crooked lampshade. And so there's all the time going on in our house. Can you straighten that lampshade for me? And I want to see something. I must have a crooked eye because I get it just straight, perfect. It looks right to me. And she goes, still off. So it doesn't make any difference if you're getting adjusted by a chiropractor, you're having to adjust a car in NASCAR. Sometimes we have to stop and make adjustments. And so this morning, it's not really hard to detect, if you would, the priorities that are in somebody's life. Many times what you do is you just look at the way that they spend their money and they spend their time, and it'll tell you what their priorities are. And so this morning, I want to read you a little story out of the Bible. This is Matthew chapter 19. And really, this guy here, he had his priorities all messed up. They were out of whack. He needed an eternal adjustment, if you would. So this is Matthew 19, and let's start with verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him," this is talking to Jesus, he said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" He's seeking after eternal life. "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him," which ones? Jesus said, "You should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Like I said, folks, sometimes whenever we want to know the priorities of somebody's life, all you have to do is look at how they spend their time, how they spend their money. For the most part, our commitments are reflections of what we consider our priorities. Where our commitments are, that's where you're going to find our priorities lying. Unfortunately, there's so many people that never really stop to think about priorities. They're just consumed about life and life at the moment. You know, they don't have a lot of priority. They're just kind of riding the wave through life. Que sera, sera. Isn't that whatever will be, you know, let's just, no big deal. They never stop to think about what is really important or what the future might be. Too many of us are so busy making a living that we don't know how to live. Let me say that again. We're so busy making a living that we don't really know how to live. Folks, I got to tell you, you know, spending our time out there earning a living to support our family, that becomes so often a very consuming factor in our lives. But folks, we got to understand this. There's got to be a way that we can make life more significant than just earning a living. A lot of times we'll find ourselves talking about priorities. We might even know what our priorities should be. But to actually put those priorities into practice, that's something else. How many of y'all know you're supposed to check the oil on your vehicle every once in a while? How many of you do? I got a dad that checks the oil on his vehicle every time he drives it. Before he ever goes out and starts the rascal up, he's popping the hood and looking at the oil. I just drive it, and if I hear a weird noise, I stop and put oil in it. Not. You see what I'm saying, folks? Sometimes we know what the priorities should be, but sometimes those priorities are really hard to put into practice because a lot of times I don't have time to check the oil. I got to go see Nora. For those of you who don't know, Nora is my newest grandchild. She was born last Monday, and she's the cutest little thing you've ever seen. And believe me, if it comes between checking oil and going to see Nora, that oil's just going to have to wait. Are you all there with me? So we can talk about these priorities, but putting those priorities into practice is a whole other thing. The Bible teaches us that eternal things. Now, folks, you understand, there's eternal things and then there's temporal things. Temporal things, they're going to pass away one of these days. They're not going to be there. They're not going to last forever. But eternal things, they're going to last forever. So the Bible teaches us that these eternal things, they have to have priority. We have to give priority to the things that are going to be eternal, the things that are going to last forever. So if it comes to your life, you got to have to make a decision. You have to say, listen, the things that are eternal are going to be the most important things in my house. Like Joshua, whenever he was coming to the very end of his life, he said, listen, guys, as for me and my house, we're going to invest heavily in the stock market and we're going to rack up money. No, he didn't say that. He said, we are going to serve the Lord. Obviously, eternal priorities. I mean, folks, is there anybody in here? Please don't raise your hand because you could get flogged right now if you do. Is there anybody in here that believes that we should elevate the temporal priorities of our life over the eternal priorities? No. Nobody in here would ever say, yeah, we need to honor those things that are passing away and we need to priority those things that are passing away. All of us know that there's going to come a life after this one and we've got to elevate those things that are eternal to the highest place in our lives. And so we know this, but why so often, even though we know it, don't we do it? Our lifestyle oftentimes doesn't agree with what we know to do. Yes? Everybody said amen quietly. So here's the rich young ruler, the story of the rich young ruler. It's a rich young guy, and he approaches Jesus Christ. I think he's got a curiosity that's going on in his life. He wants to know, and he's going to the one who knows. And so he goes to Jesus, and he basically asks him, he said, what's the most important thing in life? Because I got to have eternal life. He's been thinking about the spiritual realities that are in his life, and this is good. Folks, you have to know something. You can't just think about the spiritual realities in your life. You probably need to act on them. Just thinking about going to church ain't going to get it done. Just thinking about studying the Word and it's not going to get it done. Forming a deeper, richer relationship with God, it's not going to get it done. So this guy's been thinking about it, but thinking about it's not enough. He's examining his own life. He's going, hey, you know, what do I still need? He's trying to put some kind of perspective to find the meaning, if you would, to life. He's asking the right questions, But this is where he's at. Is he willing to hear the right answers? I know he's different from us, because everybody in this room is so willing to hear the right answers, aren't we? I remember God came to me one time and told me to get rid of my television. I liked my television. I have to understand, it's been a long time ago. And we had just bought a brand new Curtis Mathis, top of the line console TV. I'm telling you, baby. I don't even think Curtis Mathis exists anymore because their TVs were so crazy expensive. And he says, get rid of your TV. And I says, well, what do you want me to do with it? He said, I want you to give it away. I said, what? See, what was happening is I was letting television control my life. And he wanted me to get rid of it so that he could control my life rather than what I watched on the tube. But I argued with him for days about it. I said, I can cut back. But God, if I get rid of my television, I'll never be able to watch Christian television. I didn't anyway, but he didn't know that. You know, sometimes we're just not willing to hear the right answers. We may ask all the right questions because, see, in that moment in time of my life, I was praying to God and I wanted to get closer to God. That was one of my prayer requests. I said, God, I want more of you. I want to be closer to you. I want to have a deeper relationship with you. And he shows up a few weeks later and says, get rid of your TV. Are y'all with me? I did not want to hear that. So this rich young guy, he's standing for Jesus, and I really believe that he's curious about meaning of life, about priorities, about eternal things. And is, you know, the thing is, curiosity and intellectual knowledge alone is never enough. You can know it, you can be curious about it, but until you begin to step in and do what the Bible tells us to do, curiosity and intellectual knowledge just never will cut it. I think that we have a culture today that we live in that is very curious about spiritual things. They're searching after spiritual things in all kinds of ways. The New Age movement is taking off. There's so many people today that are converting to Islam. Do you realize that there are Christian men and women that are turning from Jesus Christ and converting to Islam? Why? Because the curiosity about spiritual things. But folks, you have to understand that curiosity, it's going to fail to yield any kind of significant change in people's lives because they're not willing to go that step further and to prioritize their lives in the right manner. We like to talk about the significant meaning of life, and we've got to contemplate all the deep things of life. But if you're anything like me, now just maybe you're different, but you don't like your routines messed with. Some of you do. I'm going to be over there tomorrow. I'm going to mess with your routine a little bit. Time do you usually get out of bed? No, seriously, we ask all these questions and we act like we want to know and we contemplate the deep things, but we just really don't like our routines messed with. You see, in our culture, we want deep things. We just want very shallow commitments to receive those deep things. Some of you got that one. So this rich young ruler, he wasn't a bad guy. You got to understand that. In fact, the Bible tells you he was probably a pretty good guy. He was probably pretty moral. But still, without eternal values as the most important part of his life, he's a sensitive guy. He wants to know the spiritual value of life, so on and so forth. And he probably should have. He was rich enough, though, to not want to change his life for those spiritual or eternal values. He was rich enough to say, listen, man, I've got something that's way more important to this. And that is the tragedy of the rich young ruler. He was just rich enough where he says, man, I can't give it up so as to prioritize my life, to adjust my life and put the things that are really important at the head of the line. He was just rich enough he didn't want to do it. Tragedy. That's a tragedy. I mean, I look at this and I go, man, you are such a dummy. Does anybody else look at this like this? I said, it's just money. It's just temporal things, man. Your money is not going to be here one of these days. But this guy passed on eternal life. Are y'all with me? I'm thinking to myself, dummy. Dummy, 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 dummy. Dummy. Anybody else thought that? Or did y'all think, man, he's pretty smart holding on to all that money? It's tragedy. But the fact of the matter is, we may not be rich, but there's still a lot of things that we hold in priority over the spiritual things that God wants to lead us in. The tragedy is his, and oftentimes the tragedy is ours. To be good enough to just feel satisfied, but not really aspiring to put God first in our life. So, whenever Jesus tells him how to prioritize his life, because that's what he's doing here. Jesus is telling him how to adjust his life so that he's going to have what it is that he needs. Okay? Jesus tells him, give everything you have to the poor, come and follow me. And what does the Bible say? He turned around and left the place sorrowful. He was sorry. He was sorry that he couldn't make that step. He was sorry that he couldn't do that. You see, this guy was not prepared, if you would, to embrace what it was Jesus asked him to do. I can't do it. A few weeks ago, we were doing some work over in the fellowship hall, and we have a lift here at the church that you can get on it, and they crank, and it goes all the way to the ceiling. And I needed to do something in the ceiling, and so I got on that lift, and they cranked me all the way to the ceiling. And you have to understand, I am scared to death of heights. And so now my feet are about maybe 14 feet off the ground, and that little lift was moving back and forth, and I had everything down there, my feet that I needed, the tools and the various things to do. And I'm reaching down and it's moving, and I'm reaching down and I'm going, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. So in a few minutes, I finally said, I can't do this. Crank me back down. So they crank me down. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm still alive. And then I thought, well, if I don't have to reach down all the way down here for my tools, I could probably not move that basket as much. So I tied them onto the front of this basket with zip ties. I tied my whole tool bag on it. I thought, this is going to be good. I got in it. They cranked me up again. And you know what? I still couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. They cranked me back down, their arms all sore. But I'm just like, I just can't do it. So I called my son-in-law on the phone. And I said, Clinton, I gave you my daughter. Can you please come down here and do this? Because he doesn't have any problem with heights. See, it really didn't make any difference what I did over there. I was not prepared to let both hands go and just move around. Are y'all with me? I just wasn't prepared to do it yet. Now, there may come a time whenever y'all go, well, you just pray, God'll help you. That's easy for you to say. I feel like there's about a 700-pound magnet that's sucking my belly down to the floor. I'm not really worried about falling. I'm worried about hitting that concrete underneath me. See, this rich young ruler was like me. He just wasn't prepared. He just couldn't do it. He just couldn't let go of what it was. He wanted these temporal things over the eternal day. A while ago, I called him dumb, but I really think sometimes we're a little quick to judge somebody. We're a little bit too hard on him, because how many times have temporal passions pushed aside the eternal values of our own life? You know, there's people stay home from church. I just love this. There's people stay home from church because it's raining. And they say, we can't go, it's raining. But yet they'll sit for 4 hours in a driving rainstorm rooting on their football team. Parking lot's too crowded. We can't go to church. Too many people. But yet they'll park 48 blocks away from some kind of event and walk. Come on. Are y'all, sometimes, I mean, our priorities are so messed up sometimes. I can't go because I'm sick. Now, if you've got some communicable disease that you're going to infect everybody, but I want to tell you something. If you're sick, this is probably the place you need to come. You need to come in here and get the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray over your life, the prayer of faith, so that you can be healed. Come on. And I understand sometimes we need to stay home because we're sick, but we use that as a cop-out too many times, don't we? Yeah, I've done it, Pastor. Come on. I'm too tired to go to church. Sunday's my only day off. You see, what we got is we got messed up priorities. The kingdom of God, that's the priority. Amen? How many times have we justified things so as we can satisfy our temporal appetite? So this guy was curious, and this guy comes to Jesus. Jesus wasn't saying that it's impossible for a rich person to be a Christian. Y'all know that? Wasn't saying that. He said what he's saying is how hard it is for anyone to be a believer with the kind of approach that this guy had. The kind of approach that he had towards spiritual things, towards eternal things. His approach was very shallow. His approach was very casual, if you would. You see, whenever we approach eternal realities, we got to understand that they can't take a back seat to anything. Come on. Eternal realities cannot take a back seat to anything. We've got to say, listen, they are more important. They are more important than anything that we do. But the rich young ruler, this was his case, had his priorities messed up. And so often we do as well. And sometimes we have our priorities messed up and we don't even realize how out of focus that they are. We don't even realize it. There came a time in my life where I just had a really, really hard time reading things. And I like to read. And so all these books, man, the printers were printing them all goofy. The letters were all blurry. Finally, I went to the eye doctor. I said, man, will you check my eyes? So he checked my eyes. And he says, you need glasses to read with. Oh, it's so funny. Sometimes I'm sitting in my office just trying to strain, and all of a sudden I go, oh, I got a pair of glasses right there. I put them on, and whoa, that is so clear now. See, and I don't need glasses up here because I print my sermons in huge fonts. So I can read it, man. And I ain't gonna wear glasses up here until I'll print one word per page if I have to. Sometimes when it comes to spiritual things, we don't realize we can't see. We got everything all messed up, but we don't even realize how out of focus everything is. And so as soon as our material things are in danger, oftentimes we lose sight of the eternal. We go, man, something's you know, messing with my house, something's messing with my 401k, and all of a sudden our eternal principles they just get pushed aside. Let me read you this little story right here. This is a true story. It was 99 degrees on a September day in San Antonio, Texas, when a 10-month-old baby girl was accidentally locked inside a parked car by her aunt. Frantically, the mother and aunt ran around the auto in near hysteria while a neighbor attempted to unlock the car with a clothes hanger. Soon, the infant was turning purple and had foam on her mouth. It had become a life or death situation when Fred Areola, a wrecker driver, arrived on the scene. He grabbed a hammer and smashed the back window of the car and set the little girl free. Was he heralded a hero? He said, the lady was mad at me because I broke the window. I just thought, what's more important, the baby or the window? Folks, sometimes our priorities get all messed up. I mean, this is a true story. This woman is upset because her rear window's broken. I'm going, I think a few blows to the head could set her priorities right. Come on. I mean, nobody in their right mind would say, man, I'm so upset you broke my window, but my little girl lived. See, sometimes, is there anybody in here that thought her priorities were right? Okay, great. But see, she probably doesn't even understand it. She's not even understanding how warped her priorities are. My window's broken. Are you going to fix it? Yeah, I'm going to fix it all right. Get the other five here in just a minute. I'm sorry. I'm still kind of reeling over this. See, this rich young guy, he was so focused on the material blessings that he wasn't really willing to make them second to the eternal priorities. That window became second to that little girl. Became second. It became of, who cares about a stupid window? So this is really what made it hard for him to be saved. It's what it made it like a camel going through the eye of a needle. It was this kind of casual relationship with God. He just, you know, it's not really that important. Folks, you have to understand, a casual relationship with God will never work. God has never yet had a casual relationship with anybody. Jesus, all through his ministry, he constantly talked about dying. He talked about serving. It's not a casual relationship whenever you die to yourself. It's not a casual relationship whenever you serve God with all your mind, your heart. Are you with me? The evidence of where we place material things in relation to eternal things, that can be seen in our priorities. How we put God versus how we put the temporal things. So like this rich young ruler, we can genuinely want to add eternal life to ourselves, but or spiritual things to ourselves, but we're not always willing to make that a priority. Excuse me, let me say it right. We're not willing to make it our first priority. So this rich young man was a bad man. I think he probably genuinely cared about spiritual things that he probably heard Jesus speaking about, but he didn't want to place his riches below eternal priorities. That's where it all came down to in his life. He said, I'm not putting my money I'm not putting them below spiritual priorities. I'll get it right in here in just a minute. We don't know. I pray this guy had a change of heart. I think perhaps he could have went away, thought about Jesus and what he said to him, and perhaps came back and made a decision. But you never know. And if he didn't come back and he didn't make that decision to give what he had away and follow Jesus Christ, folks, you have to understand it was right here at this moment that he lost his soul. As soon as Jesus told him how to put eternal things above material things, the Bible says whenever he heard it, he went away and he was sorrowful because he had great riches. But folks, please don't misunderstand me. Some of you are sitting here saying, man, I don't have no money. This sermon ain't for me. You don't have to be rich to put eternal things second. You don't have to be rich to take the temporal things or the things of this life and put them number one. We can do this whenever we're not rich. We can do this if we are rich. I mean, over the years, I think I've seen too many people, if you would, that put their jobs above their spiritual needs. And we think we have to. I've got to do exactly what my boss tells me to, or I won't have I won't have any money. And please don't go do something stupid. But folks, you got to understand, I believe with all that's in me that he says he is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. And I mean, I've seen people before that have made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ and to do what he wants them to, and they've actually quit jobs over it. Because the job foreman came to him and says, you're going to do this. And they said, I'm sorry, that crosses a boundary in my life that I've already set there. So I'm going to fire you if you don't do this. And he says, well, fire away. I've seen people do that. And every person that I've ever seen do that, it has never worked good for them. They went in, they lost their home, they lost their cars, and they went bankrupt, and pretty soon they were all homeless. No, I'm just joking. No, you see, whenever you stand up for God and you say, listen, eternal priorities are number one in my life and I will not cross this line. God, you, your kingdom is number one in my life. Folks, you have to understand, God's going to back you up. He's going to back you up. I've never seen one of those individuals not come out good for them. You know what? They used to come back to me all the time and say, listen, man, you know, I quit my job. And man, it was kind of scary because I didn't have anything to go to. But it was crazy. The very next day, God opens a door. I got a salary. It's paying me 15% more than what I was making at that other job. You know why? Because God honors those that honor him. They put their jobs before them. Folks, they put sports before them. They put their own schedules before. Jesus told his disciples that placing of eternal things above their own material things would one day result in them sitting in thrones next to him. He says, guys, if you give it up for me, you will be exalted. Folks, do you realize that one of these days, whenever we step from this life into the next life, you realize what that means? The Bible tells us that we're going to be kings and priests and rulers. Are y'all with me? And this morning, I got to share something with you. I have no royalty in my blood whatsoever. I mean, if Prince Edward dies or whatever his name is, Prince Charles, Prince Edward, that's what's the cigarette smoke. But anyway, Prince Charles dies, I will not ascend to the throne of England. I'm not royal. I have the other kind of blood in me, criminals and stuff like that, people that spent their lives in jail. But I will tell you this, since my Jesus paid a price for me and I am now redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I got to tell you, whenever I step into glory, I'm going to look at this life that I've lived here on this earth. I'm going to say, man, this was nothing for what I am living in now. God is going to reward me and bless me and exalt me. That's what the Bible tells us. So why in the world would we want what we got here on this earth more than what he has for us whenever we get to heaven? And so you're sitting there and you go, Pastor, you know, you can talk all this, you can do all this, but what's the solution? Really and truthfully, what's the solution? I've talked about getting our priorities right. I've talked about doing these things that cause us to say, God, you're number one, and all the rest of the stuff is number two. But indeed, how do you get your priorities right? Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to close here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you're going to drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we eat? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all of these things. Folks, this morning we got to understand that there is a God in heaven, and he knows what it is that we need from him. Jesus taught us very clearly that there's no reason, it is unnecessary to panic over material things as long as we're seeking his kingdom first. All of these things are going to be added to us if we seek the kingdom of heaven first. But man, if you're like me, you've had a panic attack every once in a while about where the money's going to come from. How are we going to buy groceries next time? But I mean, the Bible's true. These birds, they don't go out and plant and harvest. They just allow God to feed them. And the Watson family, we go to Walmart and buy bag after bag after bag of feed. And I know we're being directed by the Holy Spirit because God needs somebody to feed them birds. And they know it. They probably get up in the morning with their little cheapin' and they say, God, where do we go today? And he goes, the Watson's feeders are plumb full. Yes. Folks, we belong to him. He feeds the sparrows every day, and we've got to be confident that he will provide for our most basic needs. I remember a story told by one of our Assembly of God leadership, and he said that in his first few years of ministry, him and his wife really struggled financially, and he said that one day they literally got up from bed and they had no food in their house. They had nothing to eat. And so he went to the church and he prayed and he said, God, I need you to take care of my needs. And he said, I want you to go back home and I want you to sit down. I want you to set the table for lunch because I'm gonna send you lunch. So they set the table and the napkins and forks or whatever, you know. And they sat down to eat, but they had no food. Sounds pretty stupid, ask me. He should be out running around trying to find some money. Do some pop bottles or tin cans or something, you know. But he's sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, knock on the door. Hadn't even been living in this house very long, but this lady from a couple of doors down, standing there with a big pan of spaghetti in her hands. And she says, I hate to even bother you with this, but she said, I was home and I was making spaghetti and the pot just grew and grew and grew and grew. And she said, I got so much spaghetti, we couldn't eat this in a week. She said, could I pawn some of this off on you and your family so as that, you know, my husband doesn't see the big mistake I made in the proportions here? She had the whole meal set out. So they took that in and they thanked the Lord and they ate it. God knows what we have need of. But we have to have our priorities right. Who can add a single cubit to your height? Who can add a single hour to your life by worrying? Can I just share something with you? I'm not good at a lot of things. I'd like to be good at something, you know, just really, really good. And so what I've chosen is worrying. I'm telling you, man, I am a champion worrier. I mean, you and I get into a worrying contest, you'd go home defeated. Like the rich young ruler, you'd put your head down, just walk away sorrowful. Man, he's good. I'm telling you, I can worry with the best of them. You guys are going, I thought you were spiritual. I'm working on it. But there's things in my life I worry about. But you know what I'm coming to the conclusion, the little bit older I get, the further I get down the road is, worrying doesn't do nothing. I can worry strong all night long. I mean all night, stay up all night. I mean not one wink of sleep, just worrying. I mean strong worry. I mean worry that you guys would just go, man, he's good. That guy is good. I mean just worrying. I get up in the morning and the same crazy problem is sitting right there waiting on me. Is all that strong worrying I did didn't do me one bit of good? I'm learning that. Pray for me that I learn it all the way. Y'all with me? Worrying doesn't do anything. God says, don't worry about it. He said, I've got you covered. You know, it's kind of like this. This is what you do to your own dad. You say, "Dad, can I take you out to lunch?" So you get into lunch and you're in the middle of the order and you reach back and you go, "Oh man, I forgot my wallet." Now it's really there, but he doesn't know it. And your dad, he goes, "That's all right. I got you covered." You know what I'm saying? That's a way to get a free lunch all the time. Because dads, that's what dads do. Dads are always covering. You know, "That's all right. No big deal. I got you. I got you covered." I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has us covered. He knows what we have need of. And we got to take our priorities and we got to set them into line. We got to say, "God, there's nothing on this planet. There's nothing on this little blue ball that is more important than what it is that I need with you. I need your presence. I need your anointing. I need you, Jesus, in my life. So I set you at numero uno." That's, man, I'm telling you, I'm speaking good Spanish here this morning. Number one. See, whenever we can line up our wants with what God wants, we can live, for the most part, very anxiety-free lives. Seriously. We can just go through life and never even worry. Wouldn't it be nice to just wake up every morning and say, "You know something? I didn't worry once last night." Because I do my best worrying at night. How many of you all are there? In the daytime, I'm usually too busy to do worrying. But boy, at night, I can get her done. See, Jesus tells these folks, he says, "Guys, listen." He says, "The pagans, they're the ones that do that. They run after all this stuff. They want it, so on and so forth." But he said, "Don't be like them. Don't run after the material things. Don't run after the temporal things." You mean, yeah, let me just, this is a footnote. There's a footnote. You can put it down at the bottom of your notes. But I think one of the things that we do that is so destructive to our testimony of Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior is we worry about things in front of non-believers. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Well, are you worried? A coworker asks you, "Man, I'm worried sick. I just don't know what I'm going to do." And, you know, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I mean, that's a moment of weakness. But I'm telling you, in front of a non-believer, we should never, ever, never be that way. "No, I'm not worried. My God's got everything under control. He knew this was coming down the highway, and he's going to take care of it. My God is a good God, and he loves me. He's going to provide for me. I'm not worried. I'm in his hands." The Bible says he's Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows. He has everything under control. See, guys, I think we've got to be very careful at what we do in front of other people. Folks, this morning, our lifestyles declare what our priorities are. Our lifestyles declare what our priorities are. And every once in a while, we got to take a deep look at our lifestyles, and sometimes we got to make an adjustment. We have to. So let me read you this little story. And Jared, if you'll come, we're going to close this thing. In the Jules Verne novel, The Mysterious Island, he tells of five men who escape from a Civil War prison camp by hijacking a hot air balloon. As they rise into the air, they realize the wind is carrying them over the ocean. Watching their homeland disappear on the horizon, they wonder how much longer the balloon can stay aloft. As the hours pass, the surface of the ocean draws closer. The men decide they must cast overboard some of the weight, for they had no way to heat the air in the balloon. Shoes, overcoats, weapons, they're reluctantly discarded, and the uncomfortable aviators feel their balloon rise, but only temporarily. Soon they find themselves dangerously close to the waves again, so they toss their food. Better to be high and hungry than down on a full belly. Unfortunately, this too is only a temporary solution. and the craft again threatens to lower the men into the sea. One man has an idea. They can tie the ropes that hold the passenger car and set on them. Then they can cut away the basket beneath them. As they sever the very thing that they had been standing on, it drops into the ocean and the balloon rises. Not a minute too soon. They spot land, and eager to stand on terra firma again, the five jump into the water and swim to the island. They live, spared because they were able to discern the difference between what was really needed and what was not. The necessities they once thought they couldn't live without were the very weights that almost cost them their lives. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12:11 or 12:1, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." There's times in our lives where we have to discover how unimportant some things are. See, I believe with all that is in me, life is a journey. And as we move along that journey, following after Jesus Christ, it's one discovery after another of how much greater eternal things are than temporal things. There's been things in my life where I've got them brand new out of the box and I've cherished them, man. I've told the kids, I said, don't touch it. In fact, don't even look at it. You could break it. And just a few months ago, I hauled one of those things to the dump. So very important the day I got it. And just a piece of rubbish a few weeks ago. Come on. Anybody ever have a new car? Man, you wouldn't let your family drink or eat in that car? No way. It's new. But now there's been so much pop spilled on the floorboard that your feet stick every time you get in. You don't care. Things I thought were so important raising my own kids, I just don't think they're that important with my grandkids. I told Nora yesterday, I said, I'm going to be so glad whenever you come over, I'm going to teach you something to do to your parents that's bad. See, life is a journey. And it's discovering along that journey what's important and what's not important. I got to tell you, I think the closer we get to eternity, and I say that by citing my own self. I'm 54 now, and I realize that I don't have that many more trips around the sun. I probably don't have that many more trips around the sun. I know I probably don't have 54 left in me. And so how many ever trips I got going around the sun, I got to understand this. I got to understand what's important. I got to understand what's important, and then I have to make that number one in my life. There's some things that are very unimportant to me today that used to be very important to me. I wish I would have known then what I know now. Anybody with me? Folks, whenever we make God's kingdom our first priority, He has a way of making all the other things take care of themselves. Bow your heads with me this morning, if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you, God knows what you need, and He wants to give it to you. And the amazing thing about this whole process is generally what God wants to give you is better than what you wanted to begin with. There was a little boy back in the day of a country store. Come on, just receive this in the Holy Spirit this morning. Just kind of shut everything out that's around you. Just receive this. Back in the days of the country store, this little boy used to go with his mother about once a week, and the store owner would say, listen, reach in the jar and get you a big handful of candy and take it home with you. But the little boy would never, ever get a handful of candy. He always waited until the owner of the store would get a big handful and give it to him. Said, you know, I know you're shy. Go ahead and take this home with you. And so one day on their way home, the little boy was asked by his mom, says, how come you never will put your hand in the jar and take a handful of candy? And the little boy replied to her, because the owner of the store's hand is a whole lot bigger than mine. Hallelujah. I'm trying this morning with all that's in me to convince you to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Go after that that is the most important to go after. Try to avoid all the unnecessary worry. Get things in their proper order. I'm telling you, God, with all that is in Him, He wants to bless you. And He wants to bless you so good, and He wants to bless you so right. Listen to me, church. His hand is bigger than yours. I mean, if you were today, hands bound and eyes closed, come on, folks, just kind of shut yourself in. The Spirit of God's doing a work in this room this morning. But if you were today to really examine your life, I mean right now, where you stand, can you honestly say that the kingdom of God is first in your life? And maybe even better than that, others around you that are close to you, can they say that the kingdom of God is first in your life? You see, if the answer is no, you say, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm just not there. The things of God are just not first in my life. Then this is what you've got to ask yourself. What do I need to do to change it? What adjustment do you need to make? Do you need to go to the chiropractor and get him to make an adjustment on your life? It's going to require a commitment on your part to change. You're going to have to say, man, I got to put God number one in my life. If it's no, you've got to say, what do I got to do to change it? Now, some of you in this room, whenever I ask the question, can you really say that the kingdom of God is first in your life? And you answer yes, then this is the question I ask you. What do you need to do to guard this so that it absolutely, positively is not going to change? Folks, this is all of it in a nutshell this morning. Nobody develops a strong relationship with God without a strong sense of eternal priorities. The rich young man's problem wasn't his wealth, it was his sense of priority. He made his wealth greater priority than his own soul. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, in this moment of honesty, just honest with yourself. Because you know if you're not right. You know if your priorities are all mixed up. How many of you in this room would say, Pastor, I've got to make some big changes because my priorities are mixed up? Just show me your hands quickly, very quickly. Thank you. There's hands all over this room. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you in this room, in a moment of honesty, you might say, Pastor, I've tried to make these changes in the past, but I've been unsuccessful. If that's you this morning, I'm telling you, you absolutely cannot lean on your own strength to do this because it's hard. The Holy Spirit of God has to come alongside of you. And He is willing. He is ready. He is able to help you make changes in your life so as that your priorities are right. And once your priorities are right, I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven will pour down upon your life in such a way that it will amaze you. The Bible says, seek first His kingdom. These things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody to stand in this room if you would. And very quickly, we're going to close with a word of prayer. I just sense that a moment ago in your honesty where you slipped your hand up and you said, man, I got to make some changes. I just sense so strongly the Holy Spirit's already identifying those things you got to change. There's some things that you've drastically got to change in your life. And I introduced this word a couple of weeks ago. I said, you got to be ruthless sometimes. You got to be ruthless. Man, if you got things that are controlling your life and they don't need to be there, get rid of them. And I'm not talking about your spouse, okay? Not there. But there's things that we can remove out of our lives. We can get rid of them. I had a young man come to me one time and he confessed to me that he was addicted to internet pornography. And I told him, I said, listen, man, first step, you got to get right with God. Second step is you need to get that internet out of your house. And he would not do it. He told me, he said, no, the internet's too important to me. I've got to stay connected on the internet. And I said, you're a fool. You're a fool. Sometimes we got to make tough decisions. There was a point in time, church, that every human on the face of the earth lived without the internet. And may I say this? They probably lived pretty good lives. Come on. I'm just saying, folks, we can do without anything. We've got to figure out what's necessary and what is unnecessary. The eternal things of God, we've got to have them. The temporal things of this earth, take them or leave them. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for each person that was honest in this room that raised their hand a moment ago. And I pray specifically for them, Lord. Because, Father, they're standing and they're saying, I'm going to make a change in my life. There's some things that are not prioritized right. And Father, this morning in Jesus' name, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the strong word of God, Father, that they'll be able to identify those spots, Lord God. And Father, that they'll be able to move quickly, Lord God, out from underneath the bondage, Lord, that these things hold in their lives. They'll be able to break free, Father God. And Father, they'll begin to put things right, that their priorities, Lord God, will be right. The kingdom of God first. The kingdom of God first. The kingdom of God first. Everything else, Lord, will fall into place if we'll just get it right. Our priority must be the kingdom of God first. Father, I pray as each person in this room begins to make an adjustment in their lives, they adjust their way of thinking. They adjust their way of living. I ask, Lord, that you will strengthen them. Father, that you walk with them every step of the way. That they'll never find themselves, Lord God, powerless to do anything about what it is they have in hold of their lives, Father. I pray it in Jesus' name. And I pray you'll go with all of us in this room, God. Help us, Lord God, as not only individuals, but even as a body, to put the kingdom of God first. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, folks. Set our priorities right. Amen.